You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Techcast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Now, your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan.
And we're back in the video studio for another edition of the M Squared TechCast.
Yes, there's been a myriad of reasons why we're not in here all the time. But we won't go into that because we're here now. Hopefully going forward, right, Dave, we're good, right?
All the time.
Okay, he's going to open his mic there. All right. Okay. So,
he said yes. Yeah, he's or pshaw. I couldn't tell. So, yes.
All right. Well, surprise of all, many of you have been asking, what does Kathleen Norton Schock look like? And so we have her in the flesh today. Normally she just calls in on audio and you just hear her voice. So now you can see the person as well. Welcome.
Thanks. I wish I was a little bit more photogenic for you all, but oh well.
Oh, you're fine. And she's going to be talking about a number of items. Are you going to start off with Arden Cause?
I am. We have a little bit of, this is personal to me, but it also, you have a small nonprofit audience for this. So you guys, I know, because we've known each other a long time, know that exactly 10 years ago last month, Rosemary Bayer, our new state senator for District 12, a highly gerrymandered district in the northern part of Oakland County. Yep. And by the way, happy Indigenous People Day, because that's one of the bills she just sponsored. Mm-hmm. That's why we have it.
Oh, cool.
I'm only kidding. I mean, you know, I always ascribe these things to my friends.
Well, Dave's family is Italian, so we have...
Right. Also Indigenous people. In any case, 10 years ago...
Okay.
10 years ago, Rosemary and I founded together after long careers, both of us, some of which we were talking about offline, long careers, both of us in the technology industry, founded the very first L3C in the state of Michigan. Mm. And for people who don't know what an L3C is, that is a low-profit, limited-liability corporation. Sounds what amazing. I have described to Matt a number of times as a for-profit company with a nonprofit soul.
Okay. Mm.
There are thousands and thousands of them now all over the state, but we were the first, and the reason we know we were the first is we called Lansing after we filed the paperwork, and they said, what the heck is this thing? And we had to explain it to them. Mm. In any case, that is a 10-year-old company that, effective this past August, we have turned over to an ex-employee of ours, a woman by the name of Heather Carmona, who is the general manager for the nonprofit spot in Ferndale. Ah. The nonprofit spot has absorbed Arden Cause and our 300 or so customers who were all getting our technology online. Some of our inventions, like Cause Effects and Data Snaps, some of our employees have moved over to the nonprofit spot. And one of the most wonderful things about this for me personally is that Heather is a previous Arden Cause employee with a very, very long career in the nonprofit space. She, in fact, for over 15 years, was the executive director for the Woodward Avenue Action Association. So much of the development that we've seen on Woodward Avenue was part of her nonprofit. So that was pretty exciting. Rosemary and I had had this plan for about 2 years to begin to try and transition. She, of course, did run for state senator.
And won
by 0.0007% of the vote.
We could call her landslide.
Gerrymandered district. But we knew what we were up against, honestly. And we were excited about that.
Well, she talked to me when she was first running, and she said, look, what I have to do is get about 6,000 or 7,000 more people to vote in Pontiac. You know, and I don't know if that's the only thing she did. I mean,
Bloomfield Township is what put her
really
over. my Berg. And also, of course, this is connected to the fact that about a year and a half ago, as we were making those plans, I launched something called All Things Marketing. And as you guys know, I'm the ex-president of a company. I'm the ex-director of marketing for a couple of very large IT companies.
Yeah, I do.
First woman to run a global product line at Unisys, right? But my big love, no matter what I've ever done, has been this theme of marketing strategy, marketing planning, marketing campaigns, and helping particularly the smaller companies, because I've done a few entrepreneurial things, not the least of which was this company with Rosemary, to get launched, because understanding that marketing for some people, particularly engineers, can appear to be an extra added expense. And some of us who've run companies know that it, in fact, is not overhead. If you really want to be successful out of the gate, you need to have a marketing plan, a marketing strategy, and a constant revisiting of that, launching of campaigns, and a lot of other things. So,
well, I worked on the West Coast for 10 years, and marketing out there is an art form. I came back to the Midwest, people didn't even know how to spell marketing.
Well, I started in a think tank 40 years ago. That was rivaling the Gartner Group in its day. Uh-huh. And most of my clients were CMOs and marketing people at little companies like Apple, IBM, a company called Google eventually became a client. So, of course, we are on the same page with this. So the marketing consultancy, and no offense to Rosemary, but Rosemary will tell anyone that the last 6 months of her campaign, she happened to hire this marketing consultant. and therefore, for me, who's a very non-political person, it was kind of interesting because my one and only political candidate was a client for me. Most of my clients are very small startups. Mm-hmm. They tend to be in the same space I've been in for 38 years, which is technology. Mm-hmm. Although I have one or two clients that are what we would call second stage, you know, $10 and $15 million companies who still are filling in the holes, right? Or maybe going through transition. They lost their CMO or they lost their director of marketing. So that marketing consultancy called All Things Marketing can be reached at www.allthingsmktg.com, or I can be called at the office at 248-335-4445. And the nonprofit spot, by the way, which is handling all of Arden Cause's customers and many of our inventions like Data Snaps and Cause Effects, can be reached on the web at www.nonprofitspot.com.
Okay.
So to move forward, because I am very interested in nonprofits, and you guys know that I volunteer a lot, not just because of Arden Cause, but for lots of other reasons. This coming January, my mission of love, my passion project, along with Nicole Scheffler, called Diva Tech Talk, we will mark our fifth anniversary in January. And for anybody who hasn't heard about Diva Tech Talk, again, this is volunteer work for us. It's an extension of our normal careers. But both of us have been in technology a long time, have gone through the problem with having to hire women and not being able to find them. Do know from many of the studies from Stanford, from Deloitte, from multiple other places, Catalyst, from the Anita Borg Foundation, if you want a successful company, you need to have diversity at the top, at the middle, and at the bottom. We are in a talent war, and we need more women not dropping out of the technology field, but staying in it and coming to it. So we launched Diva Tech Talk, which is a series of podcasts with women in tech. We have podcasters will travel, although many people wind up in my dining room. And I haven't talked to you guys since July. And since that time, we only do about 1.5 a month because this is volunteer work. We did Nora May Cadena was our episode 89. She is an MIT graduate with multiple degrees against all odds. She grew up in California, very, very poor, a Latina. She eventually got a full ride through high school and college, and through her MBA, became a Boeing IT executive for many years, founded a nonprofit, dear to my heart, called the Latinas in STEM Foundation. And now, since 2015, and that is going great guns, by the way, it's on the West Coast, of course. And she is the founder of Made in LA, which is a venture capital fund focused on similar to what Monica Weed is doing in this area. She is focused out in the Bay Area on IT companies that specifically are doing hardware and that are typically underfunded. In other words, they are run by women of color, they are run by women of Latina origin, They are run by women or they have major women in leadership roles. So that was our episode 89. Episode 90 is an old friend of mine and yours, I believe, Terry Takai, who capped off her 30-year career at Ford Motor Company by becoming the CIO for the state of Michigan about a decade ago, then becoming the CIO for the state of California under lovely Arnold Schwarzenegger, then deciding she just wanted to go and become the CIO for the Department of Defense, which she did for a number of years. And now, by the
Not much of a threat environment there.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Okay. And now, having left the Department of Defense as that new administration was entering office, she is now the executive director at eRepublic Center for Digital Government. And by the way, she has a new co-director, another good friend of the other nonprofit I'm going to talk about soon, MCWT, and mine, Phil Bertolini.
Oh, sure.
So,
Terry, Oakland County. Yes,
yeah, right, Terry Takai, it was our episode 90, and Terry Takai has a fascinating story. She is the daughter of two people who would never have come to Michigan except for the fact they were interned. She's Japanese. They were interred, if you will, at one of the concentration camps out on the West Coast. And the University of Michigan came flying in with a grant, got them on a bus, and as teenagers brought them to Michigan. And that's how Terry wound up here.
Oh.
So it's a great episode. Then we did Shirisha Mandiva, CIO for Green Path Financial, who, by the way, besides all of her IT work for about 16 years, she was the CIO for NSF, another nonprofit, making sure our climate and our food stays safe. But the other fascinating things about Shirisha is since 2007, she and her husband have a private nonprofit that only they put money into in his village in India, where he came from.
Mm.
And they have this vision, and we talk about it in the podcast over the next 20 years, of not just the 150 children at this point that they've given scholarships to, fed and clothed, but having a senior center. They have a school and a kids area where, in fact, they have this collaborative community with everybody contributing to each other's vitality over multiple generations. Ooh, so that is our episode 91. And next week, we'll be publishing Liz Seiver, who is our episode 92, a former Microsoft executive who heads NeoPollard Interactive. NeoPollard Interactive is, in fact, the leader and the innovative creator of online state lotteries. And of course, the state of Michigan is just one of her many customers. And then finally, finishing up on Diva Tech Talk, Nicole recently represented us. She travels a lot because she just got her fourth or fifth promotion since we've been good friends for 5 years. So she travels a lot for Cisco, which is her daytime job. But she also represented the divas and women in general at Inforum Michigan's Generation Next event last week on a panel, along with Michelle Green, the CIO of Masco, who happened to be our episode 88. And it was, by the way, keynoted by Mae Russell, Ford Mobility, head of Ford Mobility, started out when there was one developer. She now has 500. And she was our episode 78. Diva Tech Talk, of course, all of our podcasts can be found on all the channels, but you can also download any one you want from our website at www.divatechtalk.com.
And finally,
this isn't how we first met, but I know I pulled you guys into this.
Mm-hmm.
Matt and I met, as a matter of fact, when I was director of marketing at CA.
Yep.
You and I met when I was president of Telecorp.
Yep.
But I pulled you guys in over the years to my favorite nonprofit locally, which is the Michigan Council of Women in Technology, for whom I've been doing volunteer work. I run all their social channels and I help with the marketing strategy for 17 years. We had a great summer, all 14 summer camps for 5th through 8th grade girls went out without a hitch. Tomorrow night, we have a Connect Net with education tech leader ProQuest. That's in Ann Arbor. Our website contest, which has been going on for 15 years now for middle school and high school website for high school girls, will kick off in November. We have closed applications for our third annual Women in Tech Award, and we will be giving that award out at the gala, which is now called the MCWT Winter Ball, which is being sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield and will take place on November 2nd. Sponsorships are completely sold out, as they usually are by this time, but there are still some remaining tickets for anybody who wants to come. It's on November 2nd, and it's always a great time. We like to call it the IT prom. Everyone dresses up. Lots of people come. You get small companies. You get large companies. Some of the girls speak who we've helped. Certainly some of our leaders hang out and have whatever those other beverages were you gentlemen were mentioning as we were kicking off.
Yes.
We're going to have to leave it at that. Get you back here another month or so?
Maybe.
So it's mcwt.org for the
right.
Michigan Council?
Okay. Thanks, Matt. www.mcwt.org. And for Diva Tech Talk, again, a passion project, www.divatechtalk.com.
Okay. Thanks, Kathleen. We'll be
Thank
right
you
back.
Guys.
Sure. We'll be right back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast. For right now, this is Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're watching and listening at PodcastDetroit.com.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Go right ahead.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch.
And you're watching M Squared TechCast now, MI Tech News TV. Yes. And we have, I don't know if people have, you always do radio shows. This may
right?
be the first time they've seen you.
Well, for your show, yes.
Yeah, certainly, yes. Ooh. Michelle Gilbert, who is the vice president of Comcast Business Heartland, which is Michigan, Indiana, and parts of Kentucky, I believe,
yeah.
right?
So I oversee all the communications.
Yes.
If you say I'm head of Comcast Business, then...
No, I said communications.
Okay, because so. Otherwise
I don't
want
to get you promoted too high, you know, so...
Well, I just have a colleague who might wonder why I took his job title.
Yeah. Okay. If the pay comes with it, then it's a good promotion.
All right.
So we're going to be talking about, we've been trying to get you and or Rob on the show for a couple yeah. weeks. And I know every week it seems like I get a new press release from you guys doing something new. So why don't we kind of walk through all those press releases?
Sure. So let's talk first about what is impacting 85% of our customers throughout Michigan. We just increased speeds again.
Mm-hmm.
So about 85% of our customers will experience a speed increase anywhere from about 40 megabits to 200, depending on their tier that they're part of. There's nothing that they have to do. They will automatically be pushed to their router if it hasn't been already. But if you haven't noticed that speed increase, you can power cycle your router to make sure it goes through.
Well, it might not work exactly for me because I own my own and it's like 4 years old. So it may be time for me to upgrade that, right?
Yeah, so that's a really good point because if you have your own router and it's not capable of delivering you the speeds,
yeah.
then it might be time for a new router.
Yep, yeah, probably is anyway. So.
Yeah. Yep, 4 years is a long time.
It is.
In internet
technology.
Years.
It
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
That's right.
Old.
That's like
so,
8 years
like
in.
Me.
So
yeah.
I'm
not like you
know. So I'm just curious, what is like the slowest tier of internet speed that you now sell? What's the basic,
well,
sort of the plain
the
vanilla?
The basic tier is about 25 megabits.
Wow.
Or maybe it's 10.
Okay.
10 or 25.
Which, in the old days, that was the top end.
That was, yeah, that was blazing fast. Right.
Way,
yeah.
way long
we go
ago.
Back
yeah.
To
yeah.
Right. Right.
Clearing your throat.
Now,
there,
now we have 1 gig.
Oh.
So.
And you'd be lucky to get, you couldn't download movies. That wasn't even considered back in
no,
the old
no.
days when you had those kinds of modems over the
yeah.
telephone.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, we digress. So, Well, that's cool. And according to Rob, it's no more extra money, right? It's the same price.
You get correct.
Faster, it's but the, no more money.
Exactly. And the biggest reason that we do this, because we pretty much increase our customer speeds at no additional charge pretty much almost every single year. And the reason that we do this is we want to stay ahead of what our customers' needs are. And if you think about the number of devices that you're connecting to your home Wi-Fi,
yeah, amazing,
you
yeah.
need more bandwidth, and a lot of people
lots
don't
of
realize
yeah,
that.
I wanted to talk to you about yeah. that because, I mean, we see all this connected home stuff now. It's everything. It's, you know, doorbell lights, security systems, thermostats, washing machines, you know,
exactly.
anything.
Cameras.
And so what are you doing to help people sort of keep abreast of that and set it up? I mean, not everybody is a sort of digital native.
Sure. Well, so there's a couple products that we have introduced. One of them is free and the other is like $5 a month. So let's talk first about Xfinity XFi. This is a service that really lets you manage and monitor all of the devices on your network. So it's particularly helpful for parents because it allows them to keep track of devices by the user. So for example, I can set bedtime mode for my 11-year-old and not have to pause the Wi-Fi for everybody else in the house. Mm. I can give her a certain time frame of data, or I can say you have 3 hours of data use, or I can say that you can use data between the hours of, say, 9 a.m. and 8 p.m. on weekends. So we really allow our customers to customize it based on what their needs are. The other service that I think is really invaluable is called XFi Advanced Security. And if you think about all the devices that you're connecting, you know, we've got antivirus software on our laptops. You know, we can see things on the screen and we kind of have an idea when something doesn't seem right. But what about the Peloton bike, the Ring doorbell, the cameras, all the devices, the printers, the wireless printers, all of those devices that don't have screens, if they are connected to your internet, they could still potentially cause some kind of a threat.
Particularly if the admin is 1234 or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard one to crack.
So XFi Advanced Security gives our customers the ability, because it's integrated into our advanced gateway, where it basically serves as a protective layer and blocks any potential threats.
Okay.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't want someone being able to hack into your refrigerator and turn it up to 50 degrees in there when you're on vacation, so you come home to a refrigerator spoiled food or something like that.
I mean, yeah. There's so many different ways and that they're trying to get into your system to be able to, whether it's to hack your refrigerator or to get into your banking information. But the whole idea is you want to protect all the devices in your house, not just the ones with screens.
Yeah, that vulnerability actually has been responsible for some major business hacks, too.
Yes.
It was Target. Where
HVAC contractor.
The vending machine was Wi-Fi, and that's how the bad guys got into the Target network through the vending machine.
You know? Right. Yeah. So. And I don't think we've necessarily on the residential end seen one of those catastrophic things happen. Unfortunately, I think it's probably only a matter of time.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's one of my all-time favorite episodes of Mr. Robot, actually, is where the connected home goes kaflooey. Somebody hacks into it, and they're turning all the lights on in the middle of the night and turning the stereo up to 11 and, you know, that kind of thing. That's just not fun. So,
so what else in your myriad of new stuff, what else you got?
So we're making a lot of investments to improve the customer experience, mm-hmm. something that we've talked about a lot. And one of the things in particular is over the next 12 months, we're going to be opening 10 new Xfinity stores across Southeastern Michigan and one in Lansing. And, you know, this is a huge investment because if you think about it, the products and services that you're relying on every single day are more complex than ever before. It used to be that you'd say, yes, I need internet. Okay, here's my speed tier. But now when you're talking about all these connected devices and how does Wi-Fi work and all these other things, it's really valuable to be able to go into a store and to be able to see a demo of the apps that are free for your use.
That's what I was going to ask you, is why would I want to go into an Xfinity store? You guys just sell me connectivity, right? But it's much more than that.
It's so much more than paying your bill and returning your box. It's so much more than that. It's about getting up close and personal with the products and services that you are relying on every single day. A lot of people don't even necessarily know about the Xfinity voice remote and how it works. So come into our store, sit on the couch, use the voice remote to put on your favorite channel. Because who keeps track of what channels and what numbers go together anymore, right?
Now, when I have visitors, I tell them about that because they don't know what my channels are for what channels, you know.
Right.
So I just say, here, push this button, talk to it, and it'll serve you up whatever you need.
And does it work for them?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right. Good. Yeah.
So you're also expanding into new areas of Michigan, I understand?
Yeah. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring our stores. Oh, yes. So that's a totally different topic.
Yeah, yeah.
We're bringing our stores closer to where our customers live and work. So we've got stores going into communities where we've never been before, like Ypsilanti. I have to remember where all the stores are, but we can come back to that. You asked about where we're expanding. So, yes, we are expanding our network into new areas. So we just spent several million dollars expanding into South Lyon, and we're finishing up a build to Laketown Township and Saugatuck Townships on the west side of the state.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll make the tourists happy in the summertime.
Well, it's not just about the tourists. There are a lot of people who live there who didn't have a lot of options, and they were asking us for our network, and it was a great opportunity to collaborate, and we've built a new network over there.
Okay, and then getting back to his question, you're adding new stores, right?
We are adding new stores, so let me think, where are these stores located?
One's in Ypsilanti, I believe.
One's in Ypsilanti. Yes. We've got another one going into Lansing. I believe we have... I'm blanking on the locations. I'm sorry.
That's all right. We'll put up a link on that.
I will get you the link.
We got 2 minutes left. I'm getting the signal here.
Okay. So. What else can we talk about? Oh, all right. Here's the stores. We've got Canton, Brighton, Fort Gratiot, Inkster, Roseville, Southfield, Taylor, Westland, and Pittsfield Township, which is right outside Ann Arbor.
So primarily Southeast Michigan.
Most of Southeast Michigan, and then one in Lansing. We also invested a couple million dollars to expand our Comcast business space in Midtown. And we also revamped our Xfinity store in Midtown. So lots of money we're investing across Michigan, especially in the city of Detroit.
Okay, we got about a minute left, and folks want to find out more about Comcast Xfinity and all the stuff that you do.
Yep. I would say the best place to go is Xfinity.com. If you want to learn more about the products and services and some of those apps, go to Xfinity.com, XFi. It's such an invaluable app. I cannot say enough how great that app is.
Oh, one thing real quick. I just saw on the website that you can now, once again, you brought back the ability to program your remote control remotely.
We did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. Yeah. So that was
I really missed that when we didn't have it, because I would be out of town and be like, oh God, I wanted to tape that. You know, so yeah. Okay.
Yep. That was something that was held up in courts, but that was taken care of, and we're happy to bring that back for our customers, the ability to set your recording.
Set your DVR remotely. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Everybody likes to take their shows on the road.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Michelle Gilbert, Vice President of Communications for Comcast Heartland. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. We'll be back shortly. This is Mike Brennan.
And Matt Rausch.
And you've been watching M2 TechCast.
Lawrence Technological University is all about opportunities. You learn beyond the campus, doing real-world research for top companies and honing your skills through co-ops and internships. Apply what you learn. Be challenged. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
What do you get at Lawrence Technological University? Everything. Great labs and studios, supportive professors, plus a full campus life, NAIA athletics, and all the software you need to succeed. Be smart. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And we're back with another segment of the M Squared TechCast right here at PodcastDetroit.com in Royal Oak.
Yes, now MI Tech TV as well. So you'll be able to watch. And we have with us a partner of mine, business partner of mine, Anthony Sabatella. And he's with THC123, with Can of Jobs, here, just all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I got a couple pans in the fire, so to speak.
Yeah, as you know, we're covering the marijuana business industry because it's an outstanding opportunity for entrepreneurs out there, but not a low-cost opportunity. I mean, when I first got introduced to a lot of these folks, I was thinking of the old world where it was, you know, friends growing a couple of plants in the backyard, no big deal, but this is serious business.
Yeah, now it's just friends growing a couple thousand plants.
Couple thousand plants, yeah. I mean, it's just amazing. You're talking hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars to get into this business.
I would say so. You know, unfortunately, there is some sort of cost barrier to interact with the commercial cannabis industry. But what I tell people, especially those who may not come from such a strong capital background, that take a look at the ancillary services, take a look at how you can help this industry succeed. Because I, you know, as I mentioned to you before, Mike, there's two types of experts. There's experts in cannabis and there's experts of cannabis. Now, an expert of cannabis is just what it says, a person who is an expert in and of the plant and the different type of cannabinoids in that plant. An expert in cannabis is an expert in one's particular field who is looking to help support the cannabis industry. And
which is what you are. I mean, you come out of a family. Your dad has America's Back Office. Let's explain what that's all about.
Yep. So my dad owns America's Back Office, ABO for short. We are probably the largest privately held PEO in the Midwest. We process payroll and HR outsourcing services for small and medium-sized businesses all throughout the United States.
And so what you've done is gravitated into, I mean, because we're talking about the industry right now. Every time I turn around, somebody wants 40 workers here or 50 workers there. I mean, a common cause is having a job fair where they're looking for 40 workers. I mean, everyone's looking for workers, and you can help them find those workers, right?
Yep, that's kind of what I you know, was taking a look at in this industry when I decided to take the plunge, is how can I help all of these different cannabis and CBD businesses in an outsourced basis, you know, help them with their businesses. And the key piece of that is employment and HR. Every business has employees. Every business has human resources. But unfortunately, in such a distinct emerging market, it may be difficult to internalize those processes for a fair cost, especially being a startup business. Oh, yeah. So why not outsource that for pennies on the dollar?
Sure. And then I didn't go to the Grand Rapids conference because you were there 2 weeks ago. So how did that go?
I thought the Grand Rapids, the West Michigan Cannabis Expo, I thought it was lights out. For the first cannabis conference over on the west coast of the state, I thought Chris Hudson and his team over at the Deltaplex Arena did a wonderful job. We were one of the lanyard sponsors. We had a table set up there helping the different participants in the expo, both with their payroll and HR outsourcing needs, but also the attendees, getting them signed up for my Canna Jobs accounts, having them take a look at the industry job board, and really just putting all the pieces in motion that will help this industry grow.
And then this past weekend, I typically don't work Saturdays, but I was working this Saturday.
Oh, yeah, you were. I saw you out
and
there.
So we were at downtown at the former Cobo, now TCF Center. Mm-hmm. And that was Cannabis Aid. And that was for a second year. Actually, the first year didn't go off so good. But this year, I thought for a second year conference, it wasn't that bad. You had, I'm guessing, 35, 40 vendors.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought Thomas's event went very well. I really like Thomas's approach and the whole cannabis aid vision of that event. It's really bringing all the industry players together, both in the cannabis industry, but also in local government and also in technology. You know, and I think bringing in the government piece is crucial because, as we all know, it's the government politics that really got this industry in motion and really brought it to the forefront of common culture.
And then I moderated, had the unfortunate luck to have the last session and the last day, but mm-hmm. Long weekend. But so we did a little town hall, just answered questions about that. And one of the things you brought up earlier was you don't have to be a grower. There's lots of other services out there if you want to play in. For instance, we're publishing what's going on in the industry, business to business. We've had a number of different companies come in here that do delivery services,
right,
that do the lab testing stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, not really intensive, not that ready cultivators or whatnot have come in yet. It's really all the other services that have come in.
Well, that's the thing that strikes me about this industry is that it needs everything that every other industry does, and not just ones that are focused with living things, with agriculture. But, right, but it needs accountants, it needs security, it needs transportation, it yeah. needs, you know, all of that stuff. It needs marketing. Marketing and public relations. I mean, anything you can think of.
Yeah.
You
know, so. Takes a village to raise a child.
For our next guest, I hope you're listening there. I'll throw that out. We have 1, 2, 3.
Yeah,
1, 2, 3 net coming in next. So they all need broadband, right?
Mm-hmm. So what was the attendance like at both of these events? So, roughly how many people would you say were there?
I think quick numbers from the Deltaplex. I heard 1,300 the first day, about 700 the second. So okay. for a start-off conference with 2,000 attendees open to general public, I thought that was great. Cannabis Aid, it's interesting that we're comparing these two conferences, plus the third one that was this weekend was the High Times Cannabis Bazaar, and then next week is over in Chicago. Both of our friend Jason Raznick's Benzinga's commercial cannabis conference over in Chicago. And I think it's for the general public. They need to see the difference in the types of conferences to really get a full understanding of what was at each. The first conference over in West Michigan, that was open to the general public.
Yeah, this was more of a business.
Yes, this is a business to business.
And Chicago definitely is that.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
They're bringing in heavyweight investors and you know, very successful Wally State players.
Yep, yeah. I've seen a lot of multi-state operators, CEO of Cresco Labs.
The one in Chicago sounds like it's not just people having a good time and, you know, tasting tours and that kind of thing. This is the really heavy duty business.
Yeah, the recreational markets is served more towards kind of the cannabis cup type atmosphere,
yeah,
where that's more of an open indulgent consumption type event, which I think it has a great place in the industry, and so does the the Benzinga event, and so does Cannabis Aid's event, tying in local government, tying in the C-level execs as well, because, you know, at the end of the day, all of the people at all of these events are tied to employment. You know, either they're a consumer of this market or they're an employee or employer in this industry, and we look to service all of them.
Yeah, right now, I mean, Michigan is the number two medical marijuana market in the country. Most of the folks that I'm talking to predict that in terms of the recreational side, it'll be somewhere in the top five. It's hard to say how exactly it's going to play out. So, I mean, it's serious money is going into this business. And not all of it is in just getting high kind of stuff. There's the CBD products. There's all sorts of things that are more medicinal aimed at, right?
Yes, different type of topicals, selves, a whole bunch of different things. Like you said, the CBD industry as well. You know, hemp, the application for hemp textiles, hemp adobe, you know, in lieu of blacktop and concrete.
Yeah.
You know, a state like Michigan really should take a closer look at using these type of products that don't crack
and
crumble.
Fix the damn roads with hemp. How about it?
Exactly. How about it? It's a fibrous plant. It stretches. It contracts and condenses with the Michigan weather. Why wouldn't we take a closer look at it?
It does. Yeah. I actually sat in a couple of the hemp sessions, and in fact, I did a bunch of video interviews. I was kind of tired on Sunday, so I took the day off. But I'm going to produce those this week. But one of them was with this woman from Colorado that was a hemp expert, and I was saying, you know, ag is number three industry in Michigan, and right now with these trade wars we got going on, I mean, you're not doing so good in Michigan. So she said, yeah, we got to get people plugged into hemp because it's a heck of a market.
Well, people have been talking about hemp fiber for clothing and whatnot forever, right? I mean, anything you can do with cotton or wool, you can do with hemp.
Right? Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Grows five times faster, too. It's like bamboo, you know? So, how are we doing on time, Dave?
Two, three
minutes. Cool. Okay.
We can always talk on Cannabis Bazaar, too, at High Times. It was down in Detroit. It was this Saturday and Sunday. High Times, you know, one of our industry pioneers. They put on another great show here in Michigan. They had performances by Detroit's own Trick Trick, Atlanta legend T.I., and then also West Coast legend Ice Cube
was there to perform. Put on a little weight, but it did look like
him. That was an awesome show for anyone who's really into kind of hip-hop culture. He really could put that show on, and, you know, he's been doing it for 30 years, so, you know, it's a testament to the fact.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, unfortunately, they didn't have edibles at this event. That was due to more of the Detroit Health Department. Kind of put a kibosh on that. So I'd like to see how High Times is looking to rebound and respond and see how, you know, we can have all of the industry members at the next event.
All right, this is the part of the show where we let you do a shameless plug for what you do.
Plug.
So why don't you talk a little bit about some of your businesses and how people can connect to them.
Yep, my business is THC123. We have three services for the commercial cannabis industry. Number one, we're a licensed PEO. We do payroll and HR outsourcing. Number two, we're a licensed employment agency, can help you with your staffing, recruiting, and cannabis job board needs. And then lastly, we are a licensed insurance agency and can help with property, casualty, life, accident, and health needs for your cannabis business.
Got it all covered.
Yep.
Now you just got to get into like small business loans, but as soon as that feds make it, move it from a Schedule one drug?
Yeah, at least down to a Schedule 3. There's still some different capital and different kind of financing mechanisms out there for the industry. So, you know, like I told you before, it's more of a who you know, not what you know sort of industry, too.
Yeah, I know Steve Braddock is doing that big 3 million square foot facility over in Muskegon, and he does financing. So I was surprised to hear that. I'm not sure if I got all the details on that, but I'll have to get that, so...
All right, Anthony Sabatella, THC123, thank you very much for being here.
No problem. Thank you both.
All right, we'll be back in just a minute with another segment of the M-Squared TechCast. Right now, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you're watching and listening at PodcastDetroit.com.
Lawrence Technological University is more than a school. It's a launchpad for your future, offering industry-leading facilities and 100-plus programs that are ranked among the nation's best. Be unstoppable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Lawrence Technological University graduates earn a degree and a higher starting salary. In fact, when it comes to earning potential, the Brookings Institution ranks LTU fifth among U.S. colleges and universities. Be enriched. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
As a Lawrence Technological University graduate, you're not only marketable, you're worth more. Yes, more. According to payscale.com, when it comes to graduate salaries, LTU is in America's top 100. Be invaluable. Be more. At LTU, possible is everything.
Salaries of Lawrence Tech grads are among the highest of any university in America. Plan a campus visit to meet with counselors, faculty, and coaches. Why wait? Find out more at ltu.edu.
Hey, it's Mike Brennan.
And it's Matt Rausch, and we're back.
With another, what, final segment of M Squared TechCast, now as MI Tech News TV.
Cool.
And we have one of our sponsors on board with us. We want to thank 123net as usual for being with us and supporting us. And we have with us, well, you're going to take the name so I don't mess it up.
Oh, Noah Laceris.
There we go. Okay.
He's on the strategic account team at 123net.
So, I keep track of you guys, obviously, and your marketing director sends me lots of good stuff to read. And one of them is, you guys, well, can we talk about your deal with Switch? Is that part of what we can talk about? Is that cool? No, we can't talk about that. Okay. All right, well, let's talk about the...
We'll fix that in post.
We'll fix that in...
We can, but we wanted to primarily focus on some of the things that we're doing in the...
All right, well, we'll cut that out.
Switch is actually, it's a great partnership, but that partnership is focused on us providing fiber, diverse fiber routes, actually into Switch and allowing our customers and their customers to be able to extend the network.
Okay. Well, I'll cut that out and post-edit then. All right, sorry. So let's get back to...
Yeah.
Hey, let's talk about...
Nobody heard any of that live, no. I can tell you. Yeah,
right. I can certainly introduce myself.
Okay,
yes,
that sounds good.
All right. Start with that. Let me pick it up right from the top so when I do the edits. So we have with us Noah Laceris, and he's a strategic account... on the strategic account team. I can do it here. Tongue twister.
Uh-huh. Easy for you to say.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so talk about yourself. What do you do for 123net?
Thank you. Yes, I'm Noah Laceris. I'm on the strategic account team at 123net. And so my team and I are focused on delivering on the mission of 123net, which is building network to help make Michigan communities and businesses the best connected on the planet. And this is a new mission of ours, and it's one that we've put multiple things in place to help make that mission come true. And each 123net team plays a critical role in that fulfilling that mission. And the strategic account team works with our enterprise level clients and partners to deliver the solutions they need to operate their businesses. We support the growth of technologies and applications that are really creating the ways that we will do business tomorrow, especially some of the cool projects that a lot of these companies in Michigan are spearheading.
So tell us why 123net's data center is being expanded. Why are you doing this?
Yeah. So for example, we typically hear from enterprises today that they're restricted by their current data center environment, whether it's uptime, space, power, cooling restrictions. There's a lot that goes into expanding those ceilings that they reach. We certainly help with that. They're also frustrated with the lack of network flexibility that they see with their current networks, how to expand those as well as the data center environment to create the way for them to deliver on those projects. And then in some ways, they're also unhappy with the support response from sometimes their current providers. Sometimes they're not delivering on the promises that they've made to their clients. So the enterprises they're tired of the finger pointing. They're disappointed with being pushed away to remote call centers outside of the state or country. So we help solve those problems. I'm here today to talk about the data center and the network. So the data center expansion, why is it expanding? It's really the Michigan and Metro Detroit enterprises. They've seen a recent shift in relying on technology for the big data, crunching and analyzing, processing, transporting. The automotive, financial, healthcare, and high-tech industries are our main focus, and those are the folks who are really creating these applications that require these new technologies. So, for example, let's consider automotive. I'm sure we're all familiar with autonomous vehicles, or AV, and how much of a changing, high-paced, changing environment that is in the industry today. The OEMs and suppliers, whether by choice or even necessity in some cases, have in a way had to change their model to become high-tech companies, even though they weren't before. And one of the ways that they've had to do that is by gathering, storing, crunching, analyzing, and then somehow bringing to market a solution to whatever problem they're trying to solve. And that could be radar, LIDAR, HUDs, HMIs, even consumer data that helps them understand why they are doing this and what the consumers really want in an autonomous vehicle. And then we help them with the larger, broader topic of the data needs of that. So to put it in perspective, Twitter's 270 million users produce about 100 gigabytes of data per day. And a single autonomous test vehicle produces about 3 terabytes of data per day, which is 3,000 times the scope of that Twitter usage. So we're talking about a massive amount of data. If we can quantify that, that's kind of it's hard to understand what that really means. But the facilities and the processes have to be put in place to support that. And that's how 123net helps them.
Okay, so why would enterprises find 123net's data center an attractive option for their business?
Absolutely. 123net is working hand-in-hand with the enterprises. They've been developing over the past few years these applications to get from what today's level of autonomous vehicle, which is level zero. So that really means that there's no autonomy in that vehicle. Most of it's manually driven. There are some level ones and even level twos on the roads today, but Tesla has some applications that allow for a higher autonomy. But level five is the ultimate level that you can reach.
Long ways away.
Complete autonomy.
That's I'm at the bar and I don't want to drive home. Let the car do it.
Yeah, or exactly. I'm on a business trip and I have a lot of work to do, so drive me to Cleveland. I'm going to go to work, maybe even in the back seat.
I'm not sure we're going to see that in my lifetime, but the auto people think it's going to be sometime in the next decade. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff that have to be dealt with, and certainly what you just described is one of them. Mm-hmm. So,
yep. So why would they choose and why would they look to 123net to help them? I already mentioned the power, cooling, space, kind of the environmental restrictions that we help with. So 123net is strategically positioned in Southfield. So we're in the Southeast Michigan corridor. We're close to home for these folks. But in addition to that, our power, space, our cooling, this is all a very flexible, expertise-driven capability that we have. That you can't find anywhere else in Michigan. Mm. So we're the only provider that can provide this level of density of power that these machines are consuming. And it may seem something like, my home seems to hum along just fine no matter what I plug in. But when you transition into our world, that's no longer the case. The power requirements are through the roof. Mm-hmm. And the redundancy, I do want to talk about the redundancy of that power. So we have multiple power sources coming into the facility, meaning if one does begin to not supply the power any longer, we are able to fail over to another primary power source in addition to the already increased redundancy we have to make a 2N+1 facility. So we wanted to also touch on the level of the network that we have available to our clients, which is an extreme competitive advantage of 123net's being in Southfield, being in the data center already. We have 40 different carriers and providers you can connect to bring your network into Southfield, into Michigan, but also branch out to your other facilities outside of the state or outside of the country from a global basis, which many of the audio OEMs and large suppliers, as well as the other industries I mentioned, are utilizing that today.
I was going to say that many providers in one space means there's a lot of backup to the backup in terms of one network failing too, right?
Absolutely.
So
the whole idea there is the way we do business today is if there is downtime, there's a loss there. There's a loss. It's tied directly to whatever that is that's down, and downtime is no longer okay in the IT industry, the telecom industry, but also just from a consumer standpoint. If we can't purchase that thing online or e-commerce, or we can't run our credit card, we're not too happy. If someone says we only accept cash today, You know, that's some of us are in a tight spot. So we build that redundancy into the data center. And as a carrier neutral facility, we are able to open our data center up and invite other carriers into the facility that actually provides a more of a competitive advantage for our clients who call that place their home.
And your company fiber footprint is also continuing to expand, right? You're adding more rings and more long haul.
Yeah. The fiber expansion just keeps on keeping on. and it's amazing. And we've kept that pace up, and we've actually increased that pace over the last few months. 123.net is extremely excited about it, but our clients are also extremely excited about it because, you know, maybe 6 months to a year to 2 years ago, where we weren't then, we are now. We can now provide a service, and these are large issues that we're solving by simply building to other our other clients, our other businesses that we are happy to do business with today. But that also opens up the opportunity to do businesses with other businesses in that area. It's a domino effect in that way.
Mm-hmm. Got about 3 minutes left, so let's quickly hit on what's new with the 123.net network.
Yeah. So we've been adding 2 to 3 lit buildings per business day, and we have 1,200 lit buildings today. Mm. And 18 months ago, we only had 600 lit buildings. Yeah. So we've doubled that in 18 months. It's a rapid pace. But part of what's driving that as well is the Detroit Internet Exchange, which I do want to mention. Pairing the data center and network together, we provide a very unique solution to a lot of the issues that the enterprises have today, which is how do I get my network and data center together and branch that out to my sites globally or in Michigan. The Detroit Internet Exchange allows those businesses to come to us and peer with large cloud providers or data providers like Google, Facebook, Amazon. There's a lot of new businesses joining the exchange because of other businesses who have joined the exchange, another domino effect in that way. And we're really excited. We're gearing up for a pretty big announcement when it comes to the Detroit Internet Exchange and some of the new members who will be joining here in the next few months. So we're really excited about that. It should be another way that we add value to our 123.net clients.
Well, we'll have to be sure to get you back on the show when you're ready to make that announcement. We can share it together.
Okay. Sure. To get a hold of you, the website to use is?
Yeah. The website to use is 123.net.
Pretty simple.
We've got that URL. But also, DetroitIX.com is the Detroit Internet Exchange. You can see all the peering participants at the Detroit Internet Exchange. And the Detroit Internet Exchange is really a way that we help that we build network and help make Michigan communities and businesses the best connected on the planet. The Detroit Internet Exchange is a perfect example of how we get that done.
Okay. Noah Laceris of the Strategic Account Team at 123.net, thanks for being with us today.
Thanks.
All right. I want to thank Noah and all of our guests here today. Anthony Sabatella with details on his cannabis entrepreneurship. I guess that's another form of lit buildings. I'm not sure.
Yes.
And, Michelle Gilbert updating the latest products and services from Comcast. And we kicked off the show with Kathleen Norton-Schock updating what's happening with Diva Tech Talk, Ardent Cause, All Things, what was it, All Things Accounting or All Things Marketing? All Things Marketing and the Michigan Council of Women in Technology. So she is a marketing expert. Check it out. All right. Good show today.
Yeah, a little variety there, a little bit of something for everyone.
All right. We'll be back next Monday at 2 p.m. For now, it's...
Oh, yeah, we will. The following Monday is Cyber Security Conference.
Oh.
The 28th.
Oh, the 28th.
Because I'll be downtown covering that.
Okay.
But next week we are back.
So. All right.
We have Lieutenant Governor Gilchrist coming in.
Okay. So that's Monday, October 21st at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll be right here at PodcastDetroit.com. For right now, it's Matt Rausch.
And Mike Brennan.
And you've been watching the M-Squared TechCast.
Thanks for listening to M-Squared TechCast, a live internet radio show offering the latest news and interviews with the people driving business, technology, and politics in Michigan. Join your hosts, Matt Rausch and Mike Brennan, next Monday at 3 p.m. If you can't listen live, audio podcasts of the show can be found at PodcastDetroit.com.